This is VOA News via remote. I'm Liz Pelka. Georgia is voting. Voters in the U.S. state of Georgia are deciding the balance of power in Congress in a pair of high-stakes Senate runoff elections. Tuesday's voting will help determine President-elect Joe Biden's ability to enact his agenda. Election officials reported relatively light turnout before noon. However, more than 3 million Georgians had voted early either by mail or during in-person voting. Democrats must win both of the state's elections to gain the Senate majority. Republicans are unified against Biden's plans for health care, environmental protection, and civil rights. But some fear that outgoing President Donald Trump's brazen attempts to undermine the integrity of the nation's voting systems may scare away Georgia voters. None of the early ballots will be counted until Tuesday, and the public is likely to not know the official winners on election night. As people watch what happens in Georgia, a storm is brewing in Washington, D.C. Several Republican senators, representatives, and Trump allies planned to object to electoral college results for multiple key states that determine the November presidential election. Vice President Mike Pence is under growing pressure from President Trump and others to tip the results in Trump's favor. But Pence has a ceremonial role that does not give him the power to affect the outcome. Also, pro-Trump protesters are gathering, and the National Guard has been activated while the city prepared for potentially violent protests surrounding Congress's expected vote to affirm President-elect Biden's victory. You can follow this story on voanews.com. This is VOA News. The U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions against entities and individuals associated with Iran's steel industry on Tuesday. It's the latest move in a U.S. pressure campaign against Tehran in the final days of President Trump's presidency. The Treasury said in a statement that it blacklisted more than a dozen entities and one person. The sanctions were imposed on the Chinese-owned Kaifeng Pingmei New Carbon Materials Technology Company Limited. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the administration remains committed to denying revenue flowing to the Iranian regime as it continues to sponsor terrorist groups, support oppressive regimes, and seek weapons of mass destruction. Iran's steel sector is a major source of revenue for the Iranian government. Iran launched exercises featuring a wide array of domestically produced drones on Tuesday, days after the anniversary of the U.S. killing of a top Iranian general by a drone strike in Iraq. Iran's armed forces are to test combat drones used as bombers, interceptors, and in reconnaissance missions in the two-day exercises in central Samnan province, the semi-official Fars News agency said on Tuesday. Qatar's ruling emir arrived Tuesday in Saudi Arabia for a summit of Gulf leaders that follows the announcement of Saudi Arabia's lifting its years-long embargo on Qatar. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman greeted Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani on the tarmac at the airport in the Saudi city of Al-Ula. The two sides are expected to sign an agreement opening airspace and land and sea borders at the Gulf Cooperation Council summit. Saudi King Salman will chair the gathering. England is facing a lockdown that will last at least 6 weeks. In an interview, Cabinet Minister Michael Gove said it is crucial citizens observe the new lockdown rules, and in doing so, help suppress the current spike in COVID-19 infections. Meanwhile, as millions of people await their turn to get the COVID-19 vaccine, that could be months away, scammers online and in emails and on messaging apps are luring victims with claims they can deliver shots within days for as little as $150. COVID-19 vaccine scams are on the rise, according to European and U.S. government officials, who are warning the public of fraudsters. The UN Children's Fund strongly condemned the killing of at least 17 minors among scores of people killed in Niger over the weekend. UNICEF says unofficial sources put the death toll from Saturday's attack in two villages at more than 100. The full story is on voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Liz Pelka.